The gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 15th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus finds out his cousin gets executed, tries to get away from it all, can't. In compassion, he heals. Then he feeds the 5,000, finally gets some free time, ends up having to play catch up with the disciples who are stuck out in a storm in the boat, walks out there, they freak. Peter comes out and stands on the water for a little bit before he loses focus. Jesus gets in the boat with his disciples after he saves Peter. The storm ceases. They continue on their way. More healings, more care, and then conflict with the Pharisees. And Jesus decides to go further away from Galilee and ends up in a new space, and a new experience comes up. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise you. Please be seated. A friend of mine told me of an experience he had with his wife. One morning while they were getting ready to go to work, he noticed his wife was trying on different outfits in preparation for heading out for the day. And he knew that her birthday was coming up. So he asked her what she'd like as a gift. And she said, "I'd like to be 8 again." So on the morning of her birthday, he rose early, made her a nice big bowl of Cocoa Pops. They watched cartoons. They took her to the amusement park, where they spent the whole day eating cotton candy and ice cream and pizza and, you know, deep-fried Twinkies and all that kind of stuff, spending their time on the Tilt-A-Whirl and the roller coasters and everything else. 5 hours later, they staggered out of the theme park. She's just absolutely just totally gone. And so he took her to McDonald's, where he got her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a chocolate shake. Then it was to the movies with popcorn and M&Ms, her favorite candy. It was a fabulous day. By the time she got home with her husband, she collapsed into bed. He leaned over his wife and he said with a big smile and lovingly asked her, "So dear, how was it that you felt today being 8 again?" She's like, "You idiot, I meant my dress size." As he said, even when we're listening, we're not really listening. Case in point. Last year at this time, actually, I love the memories that are popping up. It's like, oh, look, I was in Scotland now. A year ago, I found out something. People in Britain are called Brits, right? People in Scotland are called God. What are people in Wales called? Jonas. Think about it. Yes, think about it. There you go. Think about it. It's kind of fascinating. You think about Jonah, when he felt really down in the mouth, he cried out to God. And God listened to him. God heard him and God responded, even though the reason he was feeling the way he was entirely because he did everything in his power to ignore God, not listen to God, and do the opposite of what God wanted. But he cried out in his distress, and God heard him. And he was redeemed. 3 days in the stomach. 3 days in the belly. And he was redeemed. It's kind of a recurring theme, actually, if you actually read this book. From the Israelites in slavery in Egypt, crying out to God. And God freeing them. Time and time again in the book of Judges. 1 and 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel. Jesus, a lot of 1 and 2s, huh? And yet a whole bunch of them, it's the same thing. They would do what they shouldn't do. Something bad would happen to them. They did what they shouldn't do. And they'd cry out to God and God would redeem them. Time and time again, we might get the hint that God redeems. We as Christians point to Christ as the ultimate redeemer. But it is a fulfillment of what God does, what God is. We cry out, and God does respond. The complication is, do we? Do we cry out to God? Or do we cry out in some other form? Or do we rub some dirt in it and walk it off? We just knuckle down and try harder. We say, we got this. We just got to do more, work harder, think better. How often do we ask for help, guys, when we need it? Or have we been trained that, well, basically, you're on your own? After all, you got to look out for number one. We've got to the national mythology of the self-made person. Or, on the other side, do we, when we have the capacity to help, refuse to? For any number of reasons. Just, you know, a couple weeks ago, there's all of these people needing fed. And the disciples go, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Basically, we got ours. Send them away, Jesus, so they can go and get food for themselves. You give them something to eat. But there's not enough. Do we turn to God to help, and God will provide? Redemption is not just releasing shackles. Redemption is not just removing oppression in the terms we normally think of. If you're hungry and hunger is not ending, that is an oppression in its own right. If you feel that there is no hope, because of ongoing pain and suffering of any kind, that in itself is oppression. God seeks redemption. Not just of our souls in the sense of, okay, well, you'll die and it'll be better, but also in the redemption of our bodies. Why do we know that? Because we speak of Christ as the ultimate Redeemer, and the ultimate Redeemer took on our flesh. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be oppressed. He knows what it means to be abused. But one of the other things that often gets in the way of help, especially when we might have the ability to do so, is our desire to determine worthiness. Do they deserve it? Do they need it, really? So they're crying out for it. Toughen them up a little bit, right? Hardship brings character. You ever realize that there's a number of people in this world who are exactly the way we don't want them to be because we told them that suffering brings character, and so the character they developed was one that was based on the concept that suffering was supposed to be the natural state? After all, it's what they grew up with. It's normal. But how often do we look to someone else and go, To be honest, that kind of concern in my own wrestling with how I deal with that in my own life kind of runs into this story, and I kind of go, what do I do with Jesus ignoring this woman at the start and then seemingly dismissing her and dissing her? Referring to her like a dog. Now, we could try to come up with and spin all kinds of things like we all do in our lives when we are struggling with whether or not we can or we should help someone else. We can apply all of those things and throw them on Jesus and go look at it and go, well, see, even Jesus struggled with this foreigner, this outsider, this woman, this other person, this person who was interrupting him trying to get away. Lots of excuses, lots of reasons, lots of rationales. Lots of excuses to not respond. To not care. Now, the exchange is interesting. And I think this is kind of a midpoint of this whole gospel story. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, right at the beginning, all of these things happen, and, you know, as the gospel writer in Matthew will say, this happened, and this was to fulfill what was said by the prophet so-and-so, blah, 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 you know, a citation. I mean, it's almost like a research paper. Here you go. Thing happened. Here's the supporting material from the First Testament. Here you go. Jesus was doing this. There you go. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is in the Gentile territory of Tyre and Sidon right now. People don't care what the Hebrew Scriptures say. But this woman somehow knows who he is. And what she cares about is her daughter. And she speaks up and speaks out and keeps going. And even Jesus is like, by the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus sends out his disciples. He commissions them and sends them out. Go out into all the world, baptizing them, teaching them. Just a couple chapters before, he would only send his disciples to the villages of the Jews. Was his mind changed? Was his heart changed? Did something happen? There's a million books about that debate, to be honest. But this woman shows us a persistence. A persistence that was not deterred by social, cultural distances, that wasn't deterred by being dismissed and ignored. Paul says to pray without ceasing. And as we look out into the world and we see what is going on, maybe one of the things we've got to do is pray without ceasing. But understanding that that prayer might be the starting point for you to see the fact that how you respond might be the answer to that person's prayer. How you respond might be God in you going, "You're there." There's a story about the person who died and got an audience with God and looked at God and said, "God, why do you allow all of this suffering to happen in the world? Why didn't you do something about it?" And God looks at him and goes, "That's funny. I was going to ask you the same question." The disciples struggled with whether or not 5,000 men plus women and children could be fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus gave thanks for that, blessed it, broke it, and there was enough. This woman challenges Jesus with the question about saving her daughter. And Jesus responds with, "I don't know if there's enough," basically. And her response is, "But the crumbs." After they fed the 5,000 plus the women and children, there were 12 baskets of crumbs and leftovers. The question is whether or not there is enough. The question often is, do we believe that we are enough? Do we believe that what we offer is enough? Do we believe that what God has blessed us with is enough? Even if it's simply the voice to cry out. Because God hears the cry. And so, in faith and in hope, may we pray without ceasing. May we cry out for ourselves, for others, for this world. But also as we pray, may we hear. May we hear the voice of God. May we hear the voice of Jesus in the midst of those little ones, the least of these. And know that just as we do it to them, we've done it to him. And that even crumbs are enough in the kingdom. Because there's far more to a crumb from the kingdom than most of what we will do, whatever it takes to get in this world. So in grace, receive these crumbs from the table. And may that bring wholeness. May that bring healing. And may that bring the hope of the kingdom. And remember that God loves you. And so do I. Amen.